rest of us, we're going to continue the message we opened last week on the gift of tongues and interpretation. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to read verses 26 through 28. I'm not going to read that whole passage that I read last time. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 through 28 will launch us into our message today. Shall we say, brothers, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpretation, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself. And God, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that we glean from your word. And we just pray that today our hearts and our minds would be open and fruitful to receive the seed of your word. Lord, help us to understand clearly what we are learning today. Pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory alone, in Jesus' name, amen. We left off last week. The last thing we talked about was the technical term for this gift in Greek was glossolalia. Glossa meaning tongue, and lalia, which means speech or speaking. Now the next thing we want to move into, the major point is Paul instructs us in orderly worship. All must be done for the strengthening of the church. All of it that we do here must be done for the strengthening of the church. That applies, as this is speaking about specifically, tongue and interpretation. He says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three, one at a time. That's orderly. So if there's people here, if there were other people, if there are several people here that have the gift of tongues and have a gift to know when they are getting a tongue that is for the whole body and not one that is for personal edification. Remember we talked about that last week, right? Tongues is, first of all, for personal edification. I don't know anybody that doesn't like to be edified. Okay? So it's for personal edification, first of all. But this particular portion is talking about the use of the gift of tongues and interpretation in the church. He says two, or at the most three, one at a time. So if there are several people here that have that gift and know that God is welling up in them and they're getting a tongue that is for the body of believers. And one would stand up and give a tongue, an interpretation come. Then if someone else had one and stood up, three times is the limit, according to what we see in Scripture. Three times is the limit. Now, if there is one person that is bringing words, okay? In our case, Larry's had this gift for years, where he knows, and most of the time he's right. When he stands up and he's got a tongue, and he's right when he knows it's for the church, because he's been operating in this gift for a long time, over 40 years. Okay? So he knows how to use this gift. He's a great example of that. Now, I'm not sure the two or at the most three would apply. We've never had more than three here that came back to back through Larry and then interpreted. But I'm not sure that if there was a fourth one that that would be out of order, because it's the same person giving the tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it does apply to the different speakers, as I said, two or at the most three, or it's out of order. All right? The reason this instruction is given, again, so we understand this, these, both of these letters, actually, to the Corinthian church were sent by Paul to bring correction, because they were kind of a wild bunch. Now, there's people that think we're a pretty wild bunch that come here from, you know, people that aren't used to, haven't been exposed to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. We're kind of looked at, first of all, kind of like a wild bunch. But we're really not. The way we operate in the gifts here is exactly the way we are instructed in Scripture. And I hope you will recognize that as we study this. Also, someone must interpret, or the speaker should be quiet. If there's a mess up, and there's a tongue that comes forth, and the tongue comes, and it's in order, it's done right, okay? One person at a time, it's done right, but no one gets an interpretation to it, then at that point, that person, according to Scripture, needs to sit down and be quiet. You got that one wrong. That might have been a tongue, a personal tongue for edification, and thought it was for the whole church. Made a mistake, okay? In the Corinthian church, what was happening was people were just popping up random and popping up at the same time. It was creating confusion and chaos in the church. When new believers came in and they saw all that going on, they thought they were all crazy, and maybe they were a little crazy. Okay? And so it was becoming a huge problem in the church. So Paul sent them this letter, to the first letter to the Corinthians, and he addressed this and brought correction. Okay? Thank God, because that gives us a pattern to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. There is, when the gift of interpretation is used correctly, it is then, according to Scripture, equal to prophecy. When the gift is used properly, it then is equal to prophecy. The exception to what we're talking about here, and where two or three at the most and one at a time speak, the exception, and I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to hit it again, the exception is when people are worshiping God together in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, or worshiping Him in tongues. When we are worshiping, I've been in situations many times, and you guys don't know it because you're not in front of me, but there's many times I'm up here praying in the Spirit. You don't know it because you're back there. But there's many times that I am. And it's not out of order during worship for people to be worshiping God in the Spirit if He so directs. That is not out of order because everybody is singing at the same time. Do you understand? That's not going to cause some kind of confusion or something. Now, that being said, when I'm up here praying in the Spirit, I'm not belting it out to make sure everybody... I got a pretty loud mouth, amen? My voice carries. I don't sing pretty, but my voice carries. God didn't bless me with a good singing voice, but He's blessed me with a voice that carries. I got a good preaching voice. People can hear me, all right? But where was I going with that? When we are singing in the Spirit, you don't want to be trying to do it so loud that we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. Yes. That's not right, okay? I've seen the abuse of that before. That's just someone that is trying to draw attention to themselves. And my point is, we need to be humble. When I'm praying in the Spirit up here, I'm not trying to do it so loud so anybody even knows. First of all, I don't want anybody hearing me. But you know what's really wild? This is the truth. I don't sing well. I really don't. I don't have a nice voice. But when I am in the Spirit, because of the Spirit of God, it comes out right. When I sing in the Spirit, I sing better. Because it's God. Does that make sense to you? So, you can liken that to singing in the shower if you want to. How many of you have seen the commercial with Shaq in the shower? You know what I'm talking about then. Guys are outside, they're in the locker room, and Shaq's singing in the shower, and he sounds great. And the two guys that are talking, I'm telling you this for the rest of you, because there was only a few hands went up. The guy said, "Wow, people really do sound better in the shower." And then he comes climbing out of the shower, and he's still singing, and it sounds like me. So, anyway, my wife and I were like, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, I hope you understand what I'm saying, though. When people are worshiping God together, it's not out of order for even if everyone rose up, raised their voices, singing in unison. It's absolutely beautiful. I would call that the tongues of angels, because I've been in those situations before, and I just absolutely feel like I'm being lifted up into the heavenly of heavenlies. How many of you here know what I'm talking about? You've been in the, okay, there are a few. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, that, I hope, helps you understand about the order in worship and why this is in here. Next, let's clear up some misconceptions about the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And this verse says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." You remember last week when I opened this message, I spent some time talking about the fact that I have seen people shipwreck their faith because they began to operate in the gifts before they had developed the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And remember I said the fruit of the Spirit is love with 8 attributes of that love? Remember I told you that last week? Okay, well here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul makes it abundantly clear. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." We must have the fruit of the Spirit developing in our lives. Why do we witness to people? Not so we can get a notch on something or mark something off because we led somebody to Christ. It's because we love the people and do not want to see anybody go to hell. That's why. That's why we witness to people. That's the whole reason behind using the power gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, operating in the power gifts. It's to further the cause of Christ because we love God's people and don't want to see anybody go to hell. We want to use gifts of healing because we want to see people get well if we have gifts of healing. We want to use the gift of tongues because we need edified personally, and then also if we come to the place where we get the gift of interpretation, then it can be used with the tongues can be used in conjunction with the gift of interpretation to edify the whole church. It just don't get better than that, guys. Because when identifies the church through the prophetic word. Okay? So we need to be growing in the fruit of the Spirit as we are in the process of the sanctification. We all know what that is, right? Right. Now let's look at verses 8 through 10 of 1 Corinthians 13. This passage right here is where there is a lot of confusion, a lot of debate. Beginning to read in verse 8, it says, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears." Okay. This is a key passage to people that have become known as charismatic bashers. Okay? People that bash charismatics and are set on the fact and will fight tooth and nail with you that the gifts are not for today, they passed, the gifts went away when the disciples died. Wrong. But they try to use this passage because it does say, where there are prophecies, they will cease. So then, they don't believe, those people that are of that persuasion, don't believe there is any prophecy today. That's false. There are modern day prophets. The gift of prophecy still operates today. Are there abuses of it? Yes. Maybe we need Paul to write another letter. Write a letter to the Clintonites and the Fultonites and yes, the Albanites, or whatever. The Comanchites. I can't miss them. Where there are prophecies, they will cease, he says. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. The people that are naysayers say, "See? See? They went away." Wrong. Says they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, and this is talking about the gift of knowledge. Knowledge that where you just know things, where God speaks things to you, and you, the word of knowledge. Are you with me? The word of knowledge, that's what this is talking about. Where there's word of knowledge, which is actually prophecy. Says it will pass away. Says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." That's true. Here's the key, guys. You can't look at, just pick out these phrases that the naysayers are picking out and ignore verse 10. And that's what they do. This is the key. Verse 10 says, "But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears." Let me explain this to you. Who's the only perfection?
Jesus.
Yeah. When Jesus returns, yes, for his bride, there will be no more need for the gifts any longer. Because when he returns, we're going on the first flight out. Glory, hallelujah. And there will be no need for those gifts any longer. There won't be any need for prophecy. There won't be any need for tongues. There won't be any need for the gift of knowledge. We won't know in part and prophesy in part any longer because we will be with Christ. That, and then only, is when the gifts cease to exist, when perfection comes. That's the only thing, theologically, that makes sense at all. That's the only thing that makes sense, is to look at it that way. So, now, you know the truth. And according to the Word, the truth sets you free. So now you know why we're a church under the term of, I don't know that I'm all that much into labels, but charismatic fits who we are. This church is a charismatic church. Means we operate in the gifts as God leads. He gives us the gifts. We believe that the gifts are for today, and we believe that the gifts are going to operate through His people until He returns for His bride. That's who we are, guys. And that's why we operate in the gifts. Now let's look in Scripture at the different ways of receiving the gift of tongues. In other words, the different ways we see in Scripture that people received the gift of tongues. First one is that Pentecost, of course, that's got to be the starting point, right? And that for that, let's read Acts 2, 1 through 8. Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. Begin reading verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard him speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these people men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Okay, so at Pentecost, when the tongues were given, they then, in this instance, were given tongues that were language of other people that were there. It would be like me. English is the only language that I am fluent in. It would be like me when I have gone to Africa, and everywhere you go in Africa, there are different dialects. I mean, and Africa's huge. So you can imagine how many different dialects of language there are there. It would be like if I went to Africa on a mission trip, for example, and landed and got there and got up to preach and began speaking, and without me knowing beforehand, all of a sudden I'm speaking in the dialect of the people that I'm ministering to. That's what happened to them at Pentecost. They were given a language that benefited those that were there. That's one of the ways that tongues is useful. Okay? I actually know of an evangelist that I guess it was about roughly 20 years ago. God called him to go on a mission trip to a specific place where he didn't know the language at all. Okay? He was going to be a stranger. And God told him to go and don't bother bringing an interpreter or a translator. Well, he obeyed God and he went. And what happened to him was exactly what I explained to you about if I went, and that happened to me. He got there, got up to preach, didn't have a translator, and he got up and he spoke fluent in the tongue of the people that he was ministering to. Blew his mind. He opened his mouth and a language came out of his mouth he had never learned. So that's one of the ways that God uses this gift. I also know of a person that their parents were Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost believers, okay? But the son did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit today. Did not believe that tongues were real. Did not believe also that interpretation then. Didn't believe it was real. Okay? Well, long story short, this friend of this person, this son had a friend, and he was over at the house. And they were walking down a hallway, and the mom was in the bedroom. She had the door open, and she was on her knees next to the bed praying in the spirit. Well, the young man that was there with the son said, "Where did your mom learn that language?" And the son said, "Well, she just does that." His friend said, "No, you don't understand. I know that language. That's where my family is from, and I know that language. Your mom is speaking fluent in the tongue of the place that I came from."
Praise the Lord.
And the son went, "What?" Now, this kid knew that this friend of his wasn't lying to him about it. He had no reason, nothing to gain by it. Do you think maybe God set that up so the son would realize, "Hey, wait a minute, maybe I better reevaluate this"? So God does that. He can do whatever he wants to. He's God and we're not. Okay? All of them, when they were together in one place, were filled with the Holy Spirit. That was when the Holy Spirit came and manifested in that way in the earth. That was the first outpouring of that nature, was at Pentecost. It was not the last one, by any means. Skip down to verses 12 through 15 of chapter 2 of Acts. 12 through 15. It says, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning.'" "They've had too much wine," they said. They were making fun of the people that were acting in the gift of God. Can I tell you something? That is never a good idea. Never, ever a good idea. See, I did similar before I was saved. I used to make fun of people. I'm surprised God didn't smoke me. But he had plans for me. You know, he had plans. Thank God. I might have been a pile of ash. You know, because I thought I was real cute to go past somebody that I knew was a believer and stop and say, "Have you got a word of the Lord today?" And I thought that was real funny. It wasn't funny, but at that point, I thought it was. I didn't understand it, so I made fun of it. Do you realize that's kind of somewhat common, at least with some people? We make fun of the things we don't understand, especially if we don't understand and we are uncomfortable with it. Then people have a tendency to make fun of it. Not a good idea. You never want to call what is of God of the devil, and people have done that, a lot of people. There are a lot of people that have said over the years, and there still are today, a lot of people that think the gift of tongues is from the devil, and that is absolutely absurd. That being said, Satan counterfeits everything. He counterfeits everything. So guess what? There are demonic tongues. I've seen them. Actually, I was leading a Bible study in my wife's in my kitchen a few months after I got saved. My wife was already saved. After I got saved. Remember that, hon? We were meeting in the kitchen. I didn't know anything. I was still smoking. I was sitting there smoking a cigarette, blowing smoke in their face. Sitting there having Bible study. Hey, I was a babe in Christ, but I was on fire for God. I was a fish that wasn't all clean yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, you know, and we're having Bible study, and we're doing the best we know how. It's at my house, and I'm leading it. And this guy that was coming brought a guy with him. Now, you need to understand, I was a new believer. I'd only been saved for less than a year. And we started praying, and this guy started speaking in a tongue. And immediately, even though I was a new believer and had minimal discernment, I immediately knew it was wrong. It made my hair stand up on my back. Okay? And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? Do you remember me telling you guys that about the guy that put his hand on me?
Yeah.
And I got sick. My wife had to pray. Remember? Same guy. It was just a few years earlier. Same guy. He was full of the devil. But, like I say, I immediately, in my spirit, knew that that was demonic, even though I had been taught nothing about that. The Spirit of God just welled up within me. And I knew, this isn't right, this is demonic. So I told him, you need to stop doing that, or I invite you to leave. So I wouldn't have had him disrupting the Bible study. And he never came again. Actually, I only had minimal contact with him after that, until that happened at my shop. And that was after the fact. So God gives us discernment, okay? But don't call what is of God of the devil. That is not a good idea. It can also come, this gift can also manifest through the preaching of the gospel. Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So in this instance, the Spirit of God fell when Peter was preaching, and people were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they were amazed that the Holy Spirit had been given to the Gentiles. Somebody say thank God for that. Most of us here today are Gentiles. And we've been grafted in to the vine, thank God. But at this point, they didn't realize that the Gentiles could have the Holy Spirit. Thank God we're grafted in. Amen. We can have the Holy Spirit. Please let me reiterate, these that we are talking about are gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit before the gifts begin to flow in our lives. It has to be that way. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't have the gifts. You can have talents. You can be a very talented person, but you can't have the gifts of the Spirit without being filled with the Spirit. Period. That's the way it works. That's why at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they begin to function immediately. Here, where Peter was, it says he was still speaking. He wasn't even done preaching yet. Well, check that out. You realize what we just studied about the instruction for the Corinthian church, right? What does this say? According to what we just studied, in my mind, this was out of order. But God can do whatever He wants to. He decided to pour out His Spirit on the people while Peter was still speaking. It says speaking. What Peter was doing is doing what I'm doing right now. He was preaching. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God fell and they began to speak in other tongues. And praising God. Remember I told you that if a spirit of praise breaks out and people start praising in the Spirit, that wasn't out of order if the whole congregation's doing it? Remember? Here it is. Speaking in tongues and praising God. Can also be received through the laying on of hands. I have prayed with many people and laid hands on them, some of them in this church, and they received that gift. So I prayed for them to receive that gift, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and prayed for them. They wanted the gift of tongues, so prayed for them. There are people right here in this church that I prayed for them, laid hands on them, and they got that gift. Okay? Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Interesting. So these believers, Paul Paul asked them, what baptism? They said, John's baptism. Well, John's baptism, as it said, was a baptism of repentance, where he was baptizing people and telling them to believe in the one who was to come, Jesus. He wasn't baptizing them into his name. He was baptizing them into the name of Jesus, just like we do today. Okay? So, he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus. And then obviously Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues. I need you to understand something. I told you when I started this message, it's not my intention to try to push anybody into the gift of tongues. First of all, the gift of tongues does not make any of you any more saved. It doesn't. When you get born again, you're as saved as you're ever going to get. All right? But, as we've studied, the gift of tongues, when you operate in it correctly, does edify you, and I can testify of that after almost 40 years of walking in this walk with Christ. I can testify that that's absolutely true. When I don't know, how many times are there that we just don't even know how to pray for a situation? And you're in your private prayer time, and you just don't even know how to pray. The words just don't even come because we don't have the answers. That's when it's very beneficial to just pray in the Spirit, because we know that then we're praying the perfect will of God, because our spirit is communing with God's Spirit, and we are praying exactly in His will. People have said to me, well, how's that work? You don't even know what you're praying. That's right. I don't need to. I don't need to know what I'm praying all the time. There's times I pray when my mind is fruitful. Right? I know what I'm praying. I'm purposeful in my prayer. Sometimes it's warfare, hell-shaking prayer, right? Because you're in a situation, you're in a battle, and you've got to take authority over that. And you're praying that hell-shaking prayer. Sometimes, when I'm praying hell-shaking prayer, all of a sudden I roll over into tongues, and there's a tongue that I get that is a warfare prayer tongue. That's the only time that that tongue comes out of me, is when I am praying in warfare. So when it says tongues, it means tongues. There's different languages. Also, I want you to understand something. It's not always in a language that's on this earth. Sometimes it's languages of angels. Nobody knows without the gift of interpretation what they are saying. No one on earth does, because it's a tongue that is not on this earth. It might be a tongue that's ancient that no one speaks anymore. It might be a tongue, the tongues of angels. So there are different kinds of tongues. Okay? Larry will attest to that. He and I have talked about it many times. It just depends on the situation. There's different languages that God just brings up out of you when you're praying. Why does He do that? I don't know. I don't know why He does that. He's God. I don't need to know why. I'm just telling you the way it happens. But do you understand what I'm saying about it being very beneficial in those times when I don't know how to pray? Yes. Say, Lord, just help me to pray. Yes. And somebody might say, well, God can direct you in English language too. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. But my question is, does He always? Does He always? trying to just wrap this up for today. We got to finish next week because I didn't get done. Because God wants to shake us up. Do you realize God loves it when we operate in faith? Well, I want to explain something to you. Because this is a message about to bring understanding to you about the way the gift of tongues operate and also the gift of interpretation. When there is a tongue that comes corporately, and I'm listening, almost always, all I get before I open my mouth to interpret is a phrase or a couple of words. I have to step out in faith and speak those words before the rest of it starts coming.
Yeah.
It's scary. Yeah. It's scary. I want to tell you something. It's a faith walk, guys. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a faith walk every single time it happens. Because God requires me to speak what He gives me, even if it's only a couple of words. And then He gives it to me as I'm flowing in the Spirit. Guys, that's scary. The first few times I did that, I was wringing wet with sweat. Because it freaked me out. Great-grandson liked that. So, I want you to understand that. So, there have been people say, well, I thought maybe you guys had that pre-planned or something. No, never. We never know beforehand. Larry sometimes will say, oh boy, the Spirit's thick. I have felt something that maybe was a download from the Spirit. There might be a word today or something. He might say that to me. But I mean, beyond that, there's nothing that's ever planned. That would be a hoax. And I'm here to tell you, you that have been around here for a long time, you know I don't like phony. I straight up do not like phony. That turns me off. Period. So I don't do phony. Today is the first time that I was ever given an interpretation that I had to stop because the Spirit got so thick on me, I was going to fall out. That has never, ever happened to me before. Why did God do that today when I'm preaching on tongues and interpretation? I don't know. It was embarrassing. I'm standing here like this just trying to hang on, you know. I don't know why He did that. Never happened before. I'm like, okay. If I'm standing here looking like a fool, Lord, I'm your fool. Trying to make all of this as clear as I possibly can because I don't want anybody in this church to have fear of the things of God. And my desire is those people that God has ordained to function in specific gifts just begin to operate in their gifts. If it's tongues, operate in it. If it's gifts of healing, operate in it. If it's prophecy, operate in it. Whatever the gifts are. Gifts of helps. If it's gifts of helps, then mow the yard. Oh. Got it in there, didn't I? Let's all stand together. Father, I just thank You for this body of believers. I thank You for the hunger, for truth that You have planted in every heart here. And Lord, I don't take light the responsibility that I have of the shepherd of this flock. Lord, thank You for speaking to us through all the avenues, through Your word, through word of knowledge, through prophecy, through tongue and interpretation. All of the avenues that You speak to us, Lord, we thank You and praise You. Because, Lord, we do want to know You better. We want to grow in You every day as we walk through this life anticipating Your return. And Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray, Lord, that You will just put a covering over this word that has been sown in our hearts. Give us recall and understanding as every day goes by, more understanding of what we're learning together. Bring us back safely for those of us who come to midweek service on Wednesday night. Bring us back safely. For the rest, bring us back next weekend. We pray for those that aren't here today because of the flu that's been around. Just pray that you will heal them up and bring them back, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.